The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a place of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?'" He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. The Gospel of the Lord. My wife and I, right after we got married, we were in seminary housing. We were there for 4 years, except for the 1 year we were in an apartment on internship. So when I finally graduated from seminary and got my first church, it was so exciting for many reasons, but not least of all was that we would finally be able to have our own house. We had the option to actually live in a parsonage, but the congregation and I agreed that it would probably be for the best for both of us if we went and got our own house. And so I'll never forget seeing it for the first time. We had looked and looked and looked, and then we finally found this cute little house. It was tan with green shutters, and then it had a nice deck off the back. It had a wonderful front porch with the white pickets on it. It was just great. And the inside, it was 3 bedrooms and 2 baths. It had a nice big kitchen, a fireplace in the living room, a place for our washer and dryer, which if you've lived in student housing, well, back then anyway, we had to go across the street to do our laundry. And so we'd finally be able to do our laundry in our own home. This was just so exciting. And we were so thrilled to be able to move in and become homeowners. But then we realized what it meant to be homeowners. You see, when you live in seminary housing, you don't have to pay a mortgage, which back then the interest rates were so high. I think ours was 8 1/8, which is astronomical now. I don't think that the mortgage we paid then is much different than the mortgage that we pay now. And we never paid any utility bills in seminary housing. We never paid for electricity or water. And all of a sudden, the water bill would come and the electric bill would come. And when you know it, these people want to be paid. And then there's a problem with being a homeowner, because the reality is you actually have to take care of your own house. Nobody comes to mow your yard. It's your yard. And we couldn't get grass to grow in the front yard to save our lives, so I'd have to mow the dirt and the weeds every week. But we couldn't do anything about that. That was our problem. When the air conditioner went out and it was 98 degrees outside, that was our problem. When that beautiful front porch and the wooden pickets began to rot, that was our problem. So we had all this hype that went into being homeowners, but it didn't always live up to the hype, you know? There's a lot of things like that in life, aren't there? I mean, you remember when you were little, like 4 years old, and you couldn't wait to be able to go to school? Oh, you were going to big boy school or big girl school. And then you finally went and you found out that you actually had to sit and be quiet and listen to what the teacher was saying. And that you couldn't do whatever you wanted to all the time. And then as you got a little older, homework hit. I remember when I could not wait to be able to mow the yard. I was so excited. And finally, my father let me go out and mow the yard. Guess what? After a time or two, wasn't so thrilled to mow the yard anymore. Still aren't. But then there's things like going off to college. That's all well and good if we start having exams and papers and you start having to do adulting, you know? Or driving. That's great. So long as you're not paying for the gas, the insurance, and the car. And then there's things like marriage. Everybody is so excited to get married, and it's wonderful. But then after the honeymoon's over, you start settling in to realize what marriage is really like. And it doesn't always live up to hype, does it? Having children the same way. You know, they're wonderful and you want that little baby, but those little babies grow up and they have sleepless nights and bad attitudes. And then you have to end up homeschooling them during COVID-19. They don't always live up to the hype. And you know what? Our faith lives don't always live up to the hype either, do they? I mean, we go to a church and maybe we find a new church. Oh, it's the perfect church and everybody's so nice and so wonderful. And then all of a sudden we realize, well, there might be some conflicts or things aren't always what they thought or those nice people aren't nice all the time. Or the new pastor we just got. Oh, how wonderful. Best sermons ever and so wonderful. And then all of a sudden you realize that that pastor's not perfect anymore. He or she didn't live up to the hype. And what about God? Does God always live up to the hype? See, that's what we see in today's readings on this Palm Sunday. You see, Jesus came in to Jerusalem riding on a donkey and a foal, and this wonderful palm parade's going on. And everybody's coming and throwing palms into the road and throwing their coats down and waving palm branches. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. See, that's how I always heard this story until I started really doing research and understanding it this week. And I found out that it wasn't everyone who was actually celebrating. It was Jesus' followers who were the big crowds. The ones from Galilee were the ones celebrating. The ones from Jerusalem, it said Jerusalem was in a turmoil, wondering who the heck this guy was. All of a sudden, they show up and there's a parade going on, and they don't know why. They don't know who he is. And the people from Galilee are so proud. This Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And they're so excited to show off their hometown boy. Well, have you ever gone someplace with maybe a new girlfriend or a kid or maybe another friend that you wanted to show off? And then when they're there, they just act like an idiot or a jerk or just embarrassed? Ever been through that? Well, that's kind of what happened to all of Jesus' followers. You see, because the very first thing Jesus did after the palm parade was over is he went to the temple. And in Matthew, it says that he went in and he started throwing people out. He started turning over the tables of the money changers and casting out everybody who was buying things and selling doves and doing the commerce that usually went on at the temple. You see, Jesus wasn't happy because the people were making a business and extorting up on religious practices. They had to go in and buy certain animals in order to be atoned for their sins. And people were making a tidy profit off of the sins of others. So Jesus came in and cleansed the temple and cast all these people out. Can you imagine what Jesus' followers must have been thinking? Well, that's not who we thought he was. Jesus wasn't living up to the hype. You see, they expected a mighty warrior, a great savior, someone to come in and set them free. They were saying, Hosanna, which means save now. Save now. They thought someone was coming in to save them from the Roman occupation. But what they got was something very, very different. Jesus didn't live up to the hype. At least not the hype that they had. And does he live up to ours? Does the Jesus of Holy Week live up to our expectations? I mean, oh, sure, we love the Jesus of Christmas. You know, the baby in the manger with the golden fleece diaper and, you know. And we love the Jesus who's healing people and giving sight to the blind and able to cure paralyzed people and cast out demons. We love the Jesus. Walks on water and changes water into wine. We love the Jesus of the resurrection, the empty tomb, the glory of Easter, the one that we're just waiting to celebrate next Sunday. That's the Jesus we want. We don't want this Jesus that comes and washes feet of his disciples. We don't want this Jesus who is mocked and beaten and cast out. We don't want this Jesus who suffers and dies. We want the pretty cute Jesus, the smiling, laughing Jesus, the happy Jesus. We don't want the Jesus of Holy Week. We want the Jesus of Easter. But that's the journey that we must take this week. And you know, maybe, just maybe, we're more prepared to take the journey this week than we ever have before. Because this week, we're already dealing with pain and suffering, are we not? We're already dealing with isolation and separation. We're dealing with this pain of this virus, this pandemic that is rocking not only our community, our state, our country, but the entire world. We know what it's like to have to sacrifice right now, don't we? And so maybe, just maybe, this is the ultimate time for us to really stop and pay attention, to realize the pain and suffering that Jesus had to endure on our behalf. Maybe this is the perfect time for us to journey through the pain of Holy Week. Because let's be honest, as we begin to look forward to Easter next Sunday, there's not much hype there, is there? Because we know that the new clothes, the Easter clothes, they're not happening this year. Because, well, if you haven't bought them, you ain't buying them now. And even if you did, there's nobody there to see them. And we're going to be separated. We're going to be worshiping in our own homes. And how sad is that? But maybe, just maybe, as we walk through this Holy Week, as we pay attention to the pain and suffering, perhaps the empty tomb will not be so empty. And what I mean by that is saying it will be so much more meaningful when we go through the suffering to see the resurrection. So much more meaningful when we gaze upon our hanging and dying Christ as we see the risen Lord among us. So I invite you to take time during this week. Every day, take some time for prayer and reflection. You have time. You don't even have to homeschool this week. It's spring break. Take that time and be with God. And then when you receive the thing for Maundy Thursday, it may feel a little strange to be there with your family worshiping, but do it anyway. Experience the story. And then join us Friday night for our Tenebrae service. Listen again to the pain that Christ endured for our sake. And see how much more liberating, how more meaningful this Easter Sunday will be when we gather wherever we are and yet join together for Holy Communion. When we still gather to celebrate Christ's resurrection, even though we're not together, we will still be gathered in the name of Christ. Because I can assure you, my friends, the resurrection will always live up to the hype. Amen.